From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
We are the Forum for the Fans of Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. So, bleedblueshow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify for the millennials. We're going to get to the NBA, the National Basketball Association. A lot of different moving parts on this league over the last couple of days. We talk about all the other sports and just a quick rundown on what was discussed this week with the baseball. Since our last episode on Monday, shout-outs to Dominic, shout-outs to Jimmy. We're going back and forth as far as what's going to happen with the regular season. But since that episode, Major League Baseball, the commissioner has proposed and the players have gone with a 60-game season. So we'll definitely address that and how that's going to go when the season starts towards the end of July. And we'll cover that, especially in the weeks to come with spring training and all that. As far as the hockey, lightly touched on the Western Conference situation. Got the NHL draft coming up this week, by the way. So we'll look into that. And, of course, we'll have the Hub City situation, who's the favorites, who are not the favorites. But for the NBA, a lot of moving parts. We said that today was a day where, for the NBA, they had to report the NBA – the players had to report to the teams as far as if they're going to play basketball, there's going to be some sort of eligibility. This is also the time frame where a lot of these players are going to get tested for the coronavirus as well. I'll say it like this, because right down the pike, teams like that are going to be competing in Orlando in that three arena situation in outside of Disney World, or Disney World Complex, however you want to look at it, with Worldwide Sports with ESPN, right? Jabari Parker for the Sacramento Kings, about 20 minutes ago, reported from USA Today that he's diagnosed with the coronavirus. So Jabari Parker tests positive for the coronavirus. Even about, 24 hours ago, almost 2 days ago, this is a big fish for the Denver Nuggets, Nikola Jokic, the Joker, tested positive also for the coronavirus. Now, he's not within the continental United States. He's actually in his native land of Serbia. So his situation has got to be quarantine yourself for 14 days and find a way to cross international borders if he chooses to, with his eligibility and playing basketball for the rest of the regular season and then the playoff situation. He's a big piece. If all the, with the time frame of it and what they say with the 2 weeks in quarantine, he should be fine. But it causes for concern because a lot of these teams are probably holding their breath and knowing that if somebody gets tested positive, what if a team is hit with like 7 or 8 positive cases? What do you do then? What's the alternative? Can they go to war with half a team, with a bench? So Nikola Jokic is tested positive for coronavirus. You had Jabari Parker test positive for the coronavirus. Now, today is, being June 24th, you got to notify the league. Now, you have also another hurdle with this because it's not guaranteed that anybody wants to play. You have certain players being very vocal about not wanting to play. And they have, valid reasons why not to. I mean, it's their right to, not play. It's not required to play. If you want to play, you can play. But in the sense of some of the players around the league, Avery Bradley from the Los Angeles Lakers, a former NBA champion with the Celtics, he is excluding himself. He's excluding his participation with the Los Angeles Lakers. His reason is a very valid one. Not to say everybody has their reasons and they're all valid, but in his case, it's family. He has reported that his son has respiratory issues And he just does not want to run that risk. And then if you really think about that, you know, you could definitely understand that for sure, man. If somebody who's, you know, you have a son or daughter, whatever, family member, relative, whatever, and they have respiratory issues, the last thing you want to do is carry that as a host into their vicinity. So you're playing it safe that case. So Avery Bradley is excluding himself. Trevor Ariza, we all know Trevor Ariza, former Knick. He's been on all bunch of teams, the Houston Rockets. Where is he on now? I mean, he's everywhere. I mean, Trevor Ariza, the Suns at one point, he's excluding himself as well. Trevor Ariza, a very good, always been a solid role player, defensive player, could knock down a couple of threes. He's a good piece to somebody trying to win a championship. Trevor Ariza is excluding himself from the NBA continuation of the regular season and then eventual playoffs later this summer. Guys like Kyrie Irving, of course, former number one draft pick, also the one of the, I guess you could say, leaders of the Brooklyn Nets, if you want to call it that. Although he's injured, he has an injury. He had surgery. He's saying he's not going to participate, even whether he was injured or not. His view is more so about social reform. He's more about giving up basketball for the time being for the cause, for the social reform. So that's kind of where his stance is right now. The NBA is supposed to resume July 1st, so that will take us to next week. So right now all the teams are going to be reporting. July 1st is to get this thing going right before the 4th, so we're talking literally next week, next Wednesday. And then, of course, right before the 4th. So you're going to have games all through July up into mid-August, and you're going to have the playoffs roll around. So that's the plan for the NBA. But the question is, which teams, when they do their tests, that are remaining, the teams in the West, and there's like, what, 9 teams in the East, about 13 teams in the West, 9 teams in the East, you know, what are they going to do? Now, Washington's situation is just as similar because they were on the outside looking into the number 9 team in the East, but Davis Bertans is excluded himself, and he was a key piece to what they do. So that may kind of hurt their chances, you know. You know, they have to fight for a position, playoff position, try to get to the 8th, maybe the 7th seed. Or maybe other teams ahead of them may fall back. But when you lose key players on your team because players are opting not to play, you know, these things are going to happen in this type of situation. And that's another dynamic we never really looked at in the past. Here's another thing that was key from the NBA, which makes a lot of sense. There's not going to be no free agents signed from overseas. So if you played in China, if you played in Japan, Korea, if you played in the Middle East, whatever, if you're outside of okay, I'm back. I'm sorry about that. There was a technical difficulty with the connection. I'm back. I was sounding off. I left off on the date for the NBA, July 1st to August 14th, where the games are going to resume. I was saying the free agency situation with the NBA, with the international free agents. If you are a player that has not played if you played outside of the United States, basically the continental United States, or probably even Canada, they are not going to allow you to play. So if you played for an international team or just in a different league, you cannot sign as a free agent. However, if you are a player that was sitting out and you weren't traveling, somebody like a J.R. Smith who's been on the shelf all regular season, a Jamal Crawford, a player who's on the shelf all season, they are actually able to sign with a team. That's like players like Jakeem Noah is a perfect example. He signed a 10-day contract right before the COVID broke out. So he's actually eligible to play some of these games with the Clippers this year. But, you know, this actually opens the door for a lot of these guys who want to play. They literally were in a quarantine state the entire regular season since the start of October 2019. So I say all this to say, like, Avery Bradley for the Lakers, if he's not going to play, that's a roster spot that needs to be filled. And that's not even including everybody else on that roster, like for the Lakers roster, that may be diagnosed with the COVID. So J.R. Smith probably will get a call. I mean, more than likely he should be getting a call. Or a guy like Jamal Crawford should be getting a call from a lot of these teams, a veteran that could be used and is going to be in the same situation as everybody else because they haven't played a game since what? Early March? So this is a huge advantage for these players who sat out the entire season because they're just going to be in the same get back into basketball shape like everybody else. So this is a very, very unique situation for all professional athletes. But when we're talking about this with the NBA, a lot of the guys that have sit out, man, they're really going to be on the same page. This is like almost a blessing, but it was just perfect timing for a lot of these, you know, shelf players. It really is. NBA, from what I understand, they got, you know, three arenas out there at the, maybe four, but definitely at least three. Three arenas, no fans. It's just going to be the players are going to be tested continuously in and out of the facility to make your mark as far as getting gameplay. So we are going to expect literally games all day long because if you got 14 and 9 plus about a good 20-something teams, you're going to literally have games all day long. All day long. I mean, this is probably like going to start like 9 o'clock in the morning, going all the way to at night. Now, I haven't heard anything about the television part of how they're going to view it, but it's got to be at least what, NBA TV. See, the sport, or all the sports, I don't care if it's baseball, I don't care if it's hockey, or basketball, whatever. They're going to have to air everything. They need to get those fans back. They're going to lock in the diehard fans regardless, like the Doms, your Mr. Lodge, your Avs, and myself. They're going to lock in those type of basketball fans who love sports. But the casual fan, regardless of the sport, it doesn't matter if it's baseball, hockey, or basketball, but the casual fan, they're going to have to show these games pretty much for free. I mean, I don't see the networks charging a subscription like they would do for the NBA League Pass to charge them during these times. They're going to have to probably nip this in the bud and then kind of take this on the chin and allow these players to just go ahead and do their allow these players to be televised on their cable subscriptions on the NBA TV or TNT or ESPN. They're going. I mean, if you've got three games going on at once, you could easily do it on all three networks. You could definitely do it on, you know, ESPN, TNT, NBA TV. And you're pretty much covered. You got all three games going simultaneously. Have damn near quadruple headers and sequential headers all day long. I mean, this is going to be fantastic for somebody who's going to be viewing this at home. If you're pretty much home because you can't work or you're unrestricted or from your job, maybe a little in between jobs or you're unemployed, you're actually in a fantastic viewing position. Even if you work from home, you have an opportunity to watch all these games while, you know, if you're trying to get work done or if you're trying to seek other, you know, opportunities in between, this is kind of going to be a somewhat of a good distraction, basically. This is a good distraction for the sport, man. It really is. But it's really going to be interesting to see with these players when they come back. Because what if, let's look at it like this. What if you are a team, regardless of where you are in a playoff seeding, and you get like 7 cases, 8 cases, and that's not far-fetched. I mean, this thing is you know, people get, you know, it spreads. It's, you know, people get sick and things happen. What if the timing of it, if you are getting close to the playoffs and then all of a sudden you get this testing, okay, and you get sick or, you know, 8, 9 people get sick on your roster, Are they going? I don't know the answer to this. I may have to seek this. Are they going to expand the roster somewhat? You know, their D League players, or just have this some sort of COVID injury restriction, like a injury list for the baseball. Like, how are they going to do that? Are they going to just say, okay, if you get sick, you're just asked out, or you get sick, we're going to replace them with you can sign players and put them on like a COVID list per se. Like, there's a lot of pieces with that. That is a very, 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 very interesting dynamic with the COVID. So I went through all the points, right? Nikola Jokic, center for the Denver Nuggets, he's out there in Serbia. He's tested positive for the COVID. Jabari Parker, within a half hour, reported from USA Today, same thing. Tested positive for the COVID. And, you know, we all know about the Sacramento Kings. They're on the outside looking in, trying to fight for a spot and trying to catch Memphis. And then, of course, we talked about the family situation with Avery Bradley, Trevor Ariza, Davis Bertans from the Washington Wizards, Kyrie Irving, for different reasons, although injured, and voiced his opinion on that. And the games are going to get rolling literally starting next week. And with all this testing going up through today, and players have to report. Mr. Live, my brother, what's going on, man? It's a lot going on with the NBA, man. What's your thoughts? I got some questions with you as far as how the NBA is going to handle it, if you want to talk about our squad as well. But what's going on, man?
What's happening, people? What's happening? What's going on? I'm blown away by the World Wide West situation. And I'm happy and sad at the same time. But you know, I just heard you speaking about the COVID situation, man, and I'm down here and what was happening I'm in the South right now, and what's happening is this thing is spiking all over the South now. Right. So it's Florida just got this really major spike maybe about a week ago, and it's continuing. And then it skipped over Georgia and South Carolina and hit North Carolina. Right. So, you know, and then South Carolina, whatever they call a spike in South Carolina, it's a record. It's only a couple, but it's not like how we had got into New York, you know, nowhere near it. But it's still, you know, it's so I'm hoping that this thing even continue, brothers. You understand what I'm saying? Because in light of all of that, you're talking about Jokic and all of these people coming in who haven't even tested yet, and you know these brothers is hanging out. You know they doing their thing, man, and from what I read about the situation, you could be asymptomatic and not, you know, you could just be carrying it around and not be affected too much, of, you know what I'm saying, about it. So it's intriguing for me, you know, to see these worldly guys, you know, people who have access to, you know, trains, planes, and automobiles, to see how they, you know, kept themselves healthy. And, you know, because I know the brother from the Suns got hurt, and he's done for the season, or for this season anyway. Mm-hmm. And Oubre, you know what I'm saying? And I just hope it continues, man. But you know, I don't know what you guys, I don't know if you guys talked about the World Wide West situation.
Now we could get we haven't even touched any of our own squad. We could definitely get into that. And then I mean, I would love your opinion on it, because we know with Leon Rose and the World Wide West, as far as all those connections all over the years, pretty much this entire, shoot, you could say almost the century, start of the 2000s. But how do you feel about it? Because the way I forget, I mean, sounds good on paper, and you would think logically it makes sense, because it's all about connections in the NBA. And that's about how your franchise is going to look because of the people you bring in literally on the court. But, you know, we're Knicks fans, you know, and you got to always kind of keep that peripheral eye. You know, we've seen the Donnie Walshes. We've seen, you know, we thought Phil Jackson because of his rings, but we still said, okay, we got to see him do it as a president. You know, all of them, man. I mean, you know, it's been a really a revolving door since literally Checkets, Jay Checketts is gone. He left. Pat Riley left and Van Gundy. So this is different, though. But does it make it different? What's your thoughts on that?
For me, I consider myself an old timer, man. I go back to the Knicks when they first got, the second year they got you and I was on. I consider myself a Rick Pitino fan, but I was here for Huey Brown and his garbage. You know what I'm saying? So, that being said, man, it's I have a son who's a Knicks fan, and who kind of he gives me a window into how the youth think. You understand what I'm saying? So, my thought is it's going to be good for the Knicks to bring them into this next century. You know what I'm saying? Because we've been kind of old school for the whole time. Even, you can say whatever you want about, what it is. We're still old school. You know what I'm saying? Clyde is a fixture. And if you count them as a fixture, then them having LJ and Sprewell and everybody running around the garden sets us into the 90s, which is 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So World Wide West is going to bring us into this, him and his cohorts, with Leon, they're going to infuse youth into it, the modern day kind of situation. Modern day thinking, players loving each other, players, coming together and being brands more than just athletes. What I think is going to hurt is us acquiring a coach like Thibodeau. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how you guys feel about Thibodeau. Thibodeau was my guy. I don't think that the Knicks should have got anybody else but Thibodeau. You know what I'm saying? And I still don't, but they might think, you know what I'm saying? And this is them, and a lot of people don't agree with this. As much as I believe that Thibodeau was a young players coach, because he did everything with young players, all right? You know what I'm saying? Everybody, you run rubber. He did everything he's done with young players. You know what I'm saying? They might think that same way. They might think, oh, we need somebody new. We might need an Atkins, or we might need somebody with this X's and O's thing and these analytics and da 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 whatever. Or we might need somebody to come here and be somebody's puppet, like a Lou,
right?
Or like that, and just let the players run the way they want to play, up and down, this, that, and the third, with no structure. There's a good and a bad side for me with this. It's for me. I thought it's the end of old school Knicks. And that's gone. That's gone. Dolan won't be able to get that back ever. You know what I'm saying? Now that this is in place, he won't ever be. There will not be a nostalgic kind of situation here anymore. The way you have it in Boston, the way there'll never be that here anymore. It'll be hip hop and MTV and, you know what I'm saying, BET and that's who we are now, guys.
Yeah, so the head coach situation, they may not look in that direction, is what you're pretty much saying or implying.
You're right, because see, you know what I'm saying, I've always said if the Knicks were serious in trying to build a championship, they wouldn't even look past. They wouldn't look nowhere else, but, I mean, obviously you got to do your due diligence and everything like that. But right. Thibodeau should be, and they should let it known publicly, like Thibodeau is the guy we want. You understand what I'm saying? Because he's a proven winner. He's a proven team builder. Okay, you know what I'm saying? You can say what you want. He built Chicago. He bought, of course, with Butler's help, he bought Timberwolves back to from a 14-year drought. You understand? And he did those with young players. He did that. And actually, with the Timberwolves, he did that with knucklehead players who wouldn't listen. You understand what I'm saying? So
right.
so if the Knicks were serious in their quest, they would pick Thibodeau. The wrong move, you know what I'm saying? A move that I think would be would signal like you're trying to run up and down and be like AAU players is one hiring World Wide West, and again hiring somebody who won't be held accountable for the coaching kind of situation, like an Atkins, like a Teron Lu. You know what I'm saying? Like these guys that's, you know, half-ass coaches. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's not the LeBron or one all of them, what's it called? You know, Teron Lu is not sitting there writing X's and O's. You know, so, you know, right. the same thing with the guy. You know, I cannot remember, you know, the dude that coached us just a season ago.
Well,
my brother was not knowing his sec. Not Mike Miller.
Mike Miller.
No, the dude with the glasses.
I mean, from Randy. Or it's from Randy.
No, the brother that the brother with the fine wife, eight dogs.
Oh yeah, Fizdale. I mean, it's crazy because you got so many.
Son, I could not. Yo, I've been trying to. I have not. I said I will not look his name up. My brother was laughing at me. I did not remember this dude's name. I swear, or everything on my mother, I could not. And I said, I refuse to look it up. I'm not going to look up his name. That's how garbage that guy was.
I'm glad you brought that up. Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Does that even open the door of almost a Billy Martin situation? I know you're a Knicks fan, but I'm pretty sure you're familiar with Billy Martin, how he got fired.
Oh, yeah. I was a bad baseball fan, dog. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now,
like,
what
does that even open the door for a guy like Fizdale to come back? I mean, because he was fired
not
by
to come
the
back.
Previous regime.
Right, not to come back because he exposed himself. He exposed himself to the league that he's not a coach. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever luck he had in Minnesota, not Minnesota, with the Grizzlies, he exposed himself for year and a half with the young players. You know what I'm saying? Like his incapacity to manage was blatant. Like it was sudden. You know what I'm saying? Like no fixed rotation. And even in the face of injuries, man, you're going to pick five guys that can play together and give you most of these minutes. You know what I'm saying? You're still in your second year. You're still experimenting with rotations. That alone will keep you unemployed. You understand what I'm saying? He's a player's coach. He's a coach that passes the ball. You know what I'm saying? Tuck them dudes in at night. You know what I'm saying? Psychology 101, listen to their problems on the road and shit. He's their father on the road. He's not an X's and O's guy. Horrible. So that won't happen. But to your point, yes, somebody like him, somebody who, again, a player's coach, or somebody who Harden loves, or somebody who, if they bring in Cat Williams, you know, if they bring in, you know what I'm saying? They bring him in, somebody who he loves and runs the of course, that I believe that totally. You know what I'm saying? Again, that's why I don't like this move so much. Yeah, that's a definite.
Yeah, you're saying, you're giving it the pros and the cons of the actual move, because the reason why I brought up Fizdale, not to say it could and will happen, but the type of characteristic he is, because the whole thing why he came in the first place was he had player connections. That's why the players of other teams, superstars, loved him. They weren't touching New York because of Spills and Perry. They weren't coming to free agents.
Right.
Like, you got they had their work cut out, because it's one thing to have connections in the league and know all these players from college all through the AAU system, but the actual work with an organization, the salary cap, working with that stigma that people don't want to come here for the most part, it is totally different than just, okay, you know, I'm going to be an agent, because all an agent really got to do is represent the player on getting the best value that they can get. Contract, get paid 3-5% of that salary and be on your way, but you're not building an actual roster, you know?
Right.
That's a different challenge. I mean, we've seen it all from the Knicks higher ups. I mean, from Phil Jackson, Grunfeld, Donnie Walsh, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just been a revolving door, and for the most part, it has not worked. So I am anxious to see what direction they are to go with head coach. I really am. But I think they – I mean, I'm just guessing, speculating. I don't know where they would, but I would lean – if they're kind of this – we're about, you know, building relationships, and we really have a grasp on the entire sport with all these players, I would think they would lean towards a coach who's kind of like a Fizdale-ish. That would be my guess.
Right. And watch this. It's Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd. I believe that's who they're looking at. I swear, I'm so serious. I'm serious. I think they're looking at him because, you know what I'm saying, if they have any shot at the Greek Freak, they hire him. Because the Greek Freak looked at him like he was a father, my guy. He was very impressionable on Giannis early. You understand what I'm saying? Like, right. All of the reports and everything else I done heard, he loved Jason Kidd. You understand what I'm saying? Jason Kidd turned him into the player who he is today. You feel me? So if the Knicks have any shot through that whole worldwide, you know what I'm saying, LeBron, blah, 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 all of this new league situation, he's the new guy. He's the guy. He's done well every place he's coached. You know what I'm saying? He's done well. I mean, maybe not stellar, but he's done well. He's been a hell of a players coach with everybody, and we know he's a winner. You understand what I'm saying? Through him being an enemy,
right?
And when he was on the news, you know what I'm saying? So my, you know, to your point, I, it's going to be to me, and that's why I don't like the move so much, because to me now you go, okay, we're not going to go Mark Jackson. We're not going to go Thibodeau. We're going to go these newfangled dudes. You know, we're going to go to these new guys, like new trickster guys, new analytical guys. You know what I'm saying? You know, new right. guys that do new things and that the players can relate to. You come in and the players is calling coach old head and this, that, and the third. We don't need that guy. You know, we don't need that guy today because it's the new league. You know what I'm saying? It's the new league. Like the players, man, they coming in. And they have today have business managers and brand organizers and, you know, the things of that nature. So, you kind of got to have a coach that understands that. You know, Jason Kidd, they probably could suit up and give you 3-4 minutes still. You know, that's what it is. So to your point, I believe that's totally. And, you know, they're going to hire a Fizdale type because they're not – now what you're doing is really you're trying to build a team.
Right.
You're really trying to build a
now,
team.
Now, I have a name, I actually have a head coach name for you, too. But go ahead. Finish that last part.
No. Hit me with it.
All right. I have a whole bunch I want to throw back at you because I don't want to lose my
okay.
points on Greek Freak. But the head coach – remind me if I forget because I have a – memory.
Gotcha.
This is one of the reasons. I'll be honest, man. This is one of the reasons I'm gonna watch regardless. But the Milwaukee Bucks in particular, I'm definitely gonna keep a close eye out on because exactly the point you said because of his free agency ability. See, there's three things about the Greek Freak I do not know. Maybe you could school me or let me know about the Greek Freak. Mm-hmm. Number one. I still don't know what cloth he's made out of. I know what he's done in the regular season the last several years. Don't get me wrong. The boy's bad, and I love him.
Right.
He does on the court. Right. I don't know what his motivation is. Let's say they go into the playoffs this year because it's a different year, and they lose. Is he like, F it, I'm out? Or if they win, I'm like, for instance, if they win the whole thing, is he still out or is he still in? I don't know that. You know? I don't know which way he would go, no matter how if they lost it, like does he do a LeBron go to Miami? Like that's kind of why I'm looking. I don't know what he's doing. Number two, Number two about the Greek Freak, not just the loyalty, and I understand the connections. Do you see him as a New York City dude? Like, I want to play on 33rd, on 7th Ave between 7th and 8th. Do you see him? I don't know that. because he's always been in a small market. He's kind of like a shy. He's kind of like a, I would say, a big personality. He's got the commercial thing going on, and he's kind of reserved. He comes off as reserved, not as outgoing, but that doesn't necessarily mean nothing. But it kind of, his personality fits Milwaukee. That's kind of how I look at it. Number three.
No, I agree.
This is the other point is we got to remember his brother played for the Knicks at one point. I don't know what his brother put in his ear about playing for the Knicks. That's like, you don't know if that dude was salty. And he's like, damn, maybe I don't want to play for him. Like, that goes a long way. Coming. Right. You all know you got that relative, that brother or whatever, sister. They put something, I was at that place. Man, you don't want to go there. You know what I'm saying? We don't want these, those are my three things I have about Greek Freak that I would love to see him in the Knicks, on the Knicks. But what's your thoughts on those points and any other points when it comes to that? And then the connections with Worldwide West and, of course, Rose. What's your thoughts on that?
Right. So, coming with what you just said, that was his older brother. You feel me?
Right.
So you know what I'm saying? That's more influence. Now, I'm positive he trashed the shit out of the Knicks. I'm positive. And what it is, you know what I'm saying? And, they're not going to blame his bum ass for not being able to shoot or do nothing else but dunk. You understand? You can't run it down the court like your brother. Ain't nobody respecting you like your brother. Ain't nobody going to blame that. You're going to blame the Knicks and they shoddy rotation. You know what I'm saying? And they give you no shot. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so that's one. You know what I'm saying? That's one. I'm sure his older brother trashed him. What I'm more positive is his brother know how you play, dog. You understand what I'm saying? He know what caliber of player you are. He know how good you are. And he know how bad you is. You understand what I'm saying? So the Knicks, just like they did J.R., you know what I'm saying? J.R. Smith, brother, was doing you a favor. Okay? They picked you, and they actually picked his pedigree to hopefully find a gem in the rough that it didn't work out. And that a whole league, because if you was any good, you'd be starting someplace, not getting garbage time like you still are. Boom. You can't even crack the rotation on your brother team. So stop playing. You understand what I'm saying? So here we go.
Right.
With that, Giannis is a warrior. He's a young warrior who wants to be good. He remind me of Durant back in the day. I swear to God. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, all I want to, Steve, all I want to do is get better. That's all I want to do. I want to be better. I want to get better, and I want to win a championship. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Now you made a great point about loyalty, right?
Right.
You kind of messed me up with that in my whole thoughts about this. You know what I'm saying? Because the guy is a soup and cabbage dude, man. You understand what I'm saying? He came from nothing. You feel me? And I believe, that his moral base is put together a little bit better than a lot of these other young guys. You understand what I'm saying? So in saying that, there's a great possibility, in my opinion, that he might stay out of some loyalty. Because he's that young, right? Because they so close, right? Because this season messed us up even totally. You know what I'm saying? Now, mind you, you know what I'm saying? They get a little default ring out of whatever happens, this season or what if the season pop off. You know what I'm saying? That might determine whether he bounce or not. You understand what I'm saying? Because if he gets something, then he's free in the clay. You know what? I can go. I can make my own. I can make another legacy over here. I could do something that nobody didn't. La la la. Because him and Melo is tight too. You understand what I'm saying? And he wanted to do the things that Melo wanted to do too. You understand? So that's why I see him in New York I see it happening. But you kind of threw a wrench in the monkey wrench in the works, my man, with the loyalty thing. You know what I mean? It's a great thing to think about, you understand? Because, as much of a warrior he is, I think he might feel personal that he should bring something, because he's the only reason why Milwaukee is what Milwaukee is now. Right? You know what I'm saying? So it's boom. It's he might feel responsible for that. They might have talked him in it, and you know they're gonna give him all his money. You know, so it's like, listen, where can you go and be more successful for your family, for your broke ass family? None of your brothers is gonna be who you be. You know what I'm saying? So they're gonna need that money. All right, all right. You are in the best position, probably. You know what? Probably than anybody in the NBA. Because if you think about this, like, how long the Clippers gonna last? How long the Clippers gonna stay together like they are? That they might be done this season, my guy. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, unless they signed up the war with George and I don't even know their contract situation, but that might be dismantled right in a minute. Why? Because they might not be able to afford to keep the people around them that they need to, especially if they're not working together. Because it don't seem like their chemistry is that tight. You feel me? Seem like they better without Kawhi on it, right? So then you go Golden State coming back. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, who else in the league can mess with you right now? You're coming out of the East, right? Who else in the league is messing with you besides LeBron? Right now, all you got to do is get past two plays on the Lakers. That might not be the case.
Right.
They come to the following year because they go.
It will probably be a situation like they're doing now with the NBA. Like, if I'm leaving Milwaukee, I got to find somebody on another team to come with me to the Knicks or whatever team it may be they choose.
Yeah.
That's kind of how – that's the game plan of – how they got, you know, nobody saw Paul George leaving or getting traded from Oklahoma City to the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Kawhi Leonard was behind that, orchestrating that. Like, it's going to have to be some sort of kind of that kind of deal. They're going to have to work with him behind the scenes. And this is probably one of the beauties. Probably the Knicks going to have I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to have representation during all these regular season games and the playoffs down there. They got to have a presence out there to have those conversations. You gotta be out there to be represented.
Mm-hmm.
Put your name in the hat. Now, help our case when we're saying him leaving the team. I mean, that franchise has a history of good or the great players leaving anyway. You could go back to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He left there with the LA.
Yep.
You look at Ricky Pierce. You could look at Glenn Robinson, number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
He was there long. Ray Allen's perfect example. Ben Baker.
Cool.
Like, they've had good players, you know, decent draft picks. They never stayed. Is he going to be that type, to be gone just like those guys, or he's going to stay? He's going to, no, I'm not going to be like them. I don't know. I don't even know his makeup. This is going to be fascinating to see.
Right, and to your point, I didn't realize how right you are with the Bucks and their stagnation on their good players or their unwillingness to go all out and keep quality players around them. Because again, Giannis needs people around him, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he don't got those shooters, he's done. He's finished. He's not going anywhere without a Middleton and somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you got to keep them dudes honest on the perimeter with Giannis until he get any kind of, you know, right now he should be in the gym working on an 18-footer, 12-footer. That'll make him unstoppable. You know what I'm saying? Some type of a perimeter game where he can drive and stop and pull, unstoppable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But until that happens, he is the closest he is to a championship right now. You know, and if he don't do it, right, and then look around him and go, okay, what else can we do? You know what I'm saying? We just gave the homie his millions on Chris Middleton. We just gave him his millions.
I think
what's the shooter?
I really think in all the players' heads right now, this, you know, mentally, all of them, regardless, no matter how you look at this, Mr. Love, I think they're going to get all passes if they fail. Meaning, nobody, we've never been through a situation like this where we're literally playing in a YMCA format, a local city format of just, all right, you got this team playing at 10, then you got the next two teams. It's almost like college basketball in the tournament. You got the other two teams in the hallway waiting for them to get off the court so you get on. It's literally no home court, no fans. Like, the home way has the same advantage as the road team because there's literally no home. You don't. There's no travel. There's literally no travel.
Right.
It's like
right.
And I said this earlier at the top of the episode, and I want to get your opinion on this too, because cats like J.R. Smith, you know, who's been on literally on the shelf all year, cats like Jamal Crawford, veteran cats like that who's been around the league, who's been sixth man of the year and prolific scorer in this league, they are literally in the same boat as the other guys as far as game shape, because they have everybody's been out. I look at it like, what's your thoughts on that angle as far as these J.R. Smiths who may actually come up because, like, guys like Avery Bradley says, I'm good, I don't want to get my son sick, or like a Jamal Crawford. And then you look at it like, well, damn, you know, I thought Milwaukee, and if you could give me your opinion on this, Milwaukee, I think they did as best as they could to get the shooters around Giannis. I mean, they had the best point differential in the league before the COVID. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was almost record. Mm-hmm. They had that. I mean, they had the shooters. They were, you know, bringing Kyle Korver and Ilyasova. They had veterans. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought they did a good job getting as best as they could to Milwaukee. Like, nobody wants to go to Milwaukee. It's cold. It's not Chicago.
Right.
What's your thoughts on
that? I believe you are absolutely right, and I think the people that's probably, and again, here go this World Wide West thing. I believe the people that's going to take most of the advantage of that is the Lakers, right? Because, you know, nobody has more incentive to win now than LeBron. You want more rings. You ain't fighting for nothing but rings. You done did what you needed to do in this league. All you fighting for is chips right now. You don't care if those chips got asterisks on them. You know what I'm saying? You do not care. Especially if you can get, you know what I'm saying, if God can bless us and have some type of semblance of a league next year and a season next season, you know, you don't care what this chip look like as long as it's a chip, right? So now, look, I'm going to get Crawford, right? I believe Crawford is a better player than anybody they got at that too right now. All right, you know what I'm saying? Like J.R. Smith, Shumpert, these guys are like they're not hurt and they've been in the gym all year, right? And I'm sure before the COVID even shut them dudes down, these guys are like dogs. Be ready. That's get in the gym. Be ready. That's it. So to your point, I believe that's a. You know, and especially with these guys going down, it says everybody you hearing about getting hurt now and then catching the COVID and stuff like that. Those guys need to be replenished. So, man, listen, I believe that's going to lend intrigue to the shit. I can't wait I can't wait for somebody Jamal Crawford to pop up on somebody's team. That was brilliant. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. So, you know, I definitely believe that's a viable thought. You know what I'm saying? The formats and the what's it called? Like I said, nobody cares. It's like we want to play. So, everybody trying to get that chip though. Everybody is trying to get the chip, and Milwaukee is no different. You know, they have the best shot in the West. I mean, sorry, in the East. You understand? The Heat is going to hurt somebody's feelings, man. I believe that. I believe the Heat is going to hurt somebody's feelings on just pure old-fashioned play, man. And again, man, when I look at the Heat, I look at the reason why I wanted Thibodeau. You know what I'm saying? There is nothing better than a well-coached team, man. You don't even have to have – I mean, the '90s Knicks proved that you don't have to have these super-duper stars – to have a really good team, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, these dudes just need to want to play. And Thibodeau exemplifies that. He make cats want to play. So, you know, I'm hoping that this thing come off, man. I'm really wanting that to happen just so. And I forgot my man Melo ain't gonna get a shot. He might. Is Portland in it?
Is who?
Did Portland make that situation?
Portland.
Hello.
In the playoff situation?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should. They should be on the outside looking in.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So now. So I guess because I'm saying it was that'd be cheap. No, whoever was uneligible, maybe you could pick play. Yo, you know what I want to talk to you about real quick? I don't know how much time we got, man.
Yeah.
What is the problem that people have with our power forward?
You talking about who?
Like, everybody wants to trade this guy. Yeah. Like, well, everybody wants to. I've seen 100 trade scenarios with this guy. It wasn't he like the fifth? Like he's the. Sonny's one of the. He might be the second. I don't know how many people you can count before you get the Randall on the East anyway, who's better than him.
Yeah. I mean, I remember we had this talk exactly last year. This would have been the offseason. We discussed this about the potential of him coming to the Knicks because the free agency situation. We had the same exact conversation with you, Dom, and Ab a year ago. Man,
right.
Julius Randle would be a nice piece. My thing is this, man. I don't really be on the Twitter, Knicks Twitter like that, or I'm not heavily in the social media. So I don't. We know how Knicks fans think or Knicks fans operate. Knicks are out of it, and they've been out of it, you know, the regular season kind of early. They're not really in playoff contention. There's a lot of idle chatter that goes on. I mean, they're thinking of things that make, you know, whatever. You know, everybody, that's fine if everybody wants to tap into the inner GM. But if you ask me, well, I say no, because you give him the right point guard, and you give him the right coach, the shots are going to go down, like the three-point shots that he's jacking up. Those are going to go down. That's not Mike Miller coaching. It's going to be a head coach who knows what he's talking about, and a point guard is going to give him the ball in the right position around the paint. But if you ask me, no, I would even consider that, man. I would like this.
All right.
No, everybody's untouchable. Anybody can be traded, but I'm not like out, you know, waking up in the morning, where are we going to send Julius Randle today? I'm not thinking like that. No.
No, man. Look, again, outside of this haven that I found with you guys who speak logically about things, man, nobody likes Julius Randle. Like, no, like, he's this, he's that. And I was like, okay, so y'all don't realize that we had the bummiest coach in the world, right? And you don't realize that he got better with Mike Miller. You understand what I'm saying? I afford more of that to Peyton's emergence than anybody else.
Right.
I knew Peyton was going to
be. That's exactly what happened.
Right. And I knew Peyton was going to be that guy. He was just hurt. Right, and that's the reason why you don't want him. You know what I'm saying? Because he's usually like dog. You're useless a quarter out of the season. We out. You're useless now. I don't care if we win every game after that. We don't make the playoffs. You were useless to be here. You know what I'm saying? Because as skillful as you are, it didn't help us. You understand what I'm saying? So now Randle, he came here and made his numbers. Aside from the fact that he had no point guard. Okay, he rebounded the ball. You know, he turned it over a lot, but he had to. Why? Because, you know what I'm saying, Tisdale is a bum. You know what I'm saying? And he had him running more points than he did anything else. And he had him doing a whole bunch of stuff he wasn't supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? So bum. I thought, you know what I'm saying, I kind of thought that was a sentiment around, like, Knicks fandom. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, we got to get rid of Jewel. Who are you going to get?
That's always been the talk with the Knicks. That's always been the talk with the Knicks. See, the thing is like this, man. If you remember, you know the timeline. By the time Elfrid mm-hmm. Payton came back, the Knicks were out of the playoff contention because they went on that serious losing streak. And
right.
Dennis
right.
Smith Jr., when he lost his relative, and he,
right,
just,
right,
like,
he
mentally
did.
Was just checked out. So there
right,
was, like we
right.
were relying or counting on Smith Jr. and Payton to get the job done, but we had because of the situation, Dennis Smith Jr. not there mentally and just wasn't there. That
yeah.
that killed it right there off rip. Payton hurt.
Mm-hmm.
By the time he came back, it was after the losing streak. He was done, and then you have to rely on Frankie Donis. It's just not gonna work.
Woo.
I mean, just you know, that's just to happen with the Knicks situation, man. It was the timing of the point guard injury, missed death in the family, and just a guy who just can't get it done.
Somebody, once one of them World Wide West cats, gotta get him out of here, B. Like Frank, they gotta get him out of here. He's horrible, and I'm so disappointed with my man Dennis Smith Jr., man, because I don't believe it's all his fault, man. I think he got mad talent. He's not a point guard. You understand what I'm saying? Like, he's a two guard. Right, you know, in these days, you don't want to employ a two guard that's so small and everything, or whatever the case may be. But he's a two guard with no, and a two guard that needs the ball in his hand to be anything. So y'all wasn't supposed to re-sign him with that cut. They wasn't supposed to pick up either him or Frankie's option, and they did both of that. So we still stuck with them dudes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And y'all gambling, and because they thought they would have been able to get something for either one of them, and now you're stuck with them. Nobody will take them guys. Okay, they'll take them after you give them their money. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and re-sign them for the league minimum. You know what I'm saying? But they're not gonna take them now, not with their contract. So
yeah, yo, we got
it,
about
it is what
30
it is.
Seconds, man. Give us Give us your final thoughts on this, man. There's a great perspective of this NBA coronavirus, the guys who may test positive, the Knicks situation. Final thoughts.
Yeah, man. I'm hoping these dudes have been quarantining themselves. This World Wide West thing looks great for our youthful aspect, especially some of the young guys on the team who I think will get a shot. So I'm happy for that. I don't know how that's going to look towards our coaching situation. Time will tell. They've been interviewing the right people. But time will tell, man. You know, I'm hoping that they go old school.
That reminds me. I forgot to ask you. I know we're wrapping up, but let me ask you this real quick. We'll probably have to readdress it on the next episode. We talked about a physical type. A guy like Shaka Smart. I know he's probably not available, but a guy like that is somebody I would love. Shaka Smart, collegiate head coach out of University of Texas.
Woo,
he had all those fantastic years. A VC,
man.
He fits that fit, and he's a defensive hyper type of cat. I like
right.
a guy like that.
Right.
That collegially connected.
That right there. Right. And again, you know what I'm saying?
That's
to your point.
That's Bo Mamba.
Yeah, no, I'm with it. That's especially Shaka Smart. I wouldn't mind seeing that at all. That's an excellent X's and O's guy. You know what I'm saying?
Like
and I'm with that. And you know, I'm with that. You know, I'm not opposed to a young guy, B. I'm just, you know, when you talk about it, it's if you get Thibodeau, you know these dudes are smart on trying to, because Thibodeau is not going to invite himself to no politics. He's not going to throw game. He's not going to do all of that garbage. You know what I'm saying? These young guys, the team can get them to do that, right? But to your point, that Shaka Smart would be a good move. I wouldn't argue that at any point.
Right. A guy like that, he could relate to the younger players. He's been around college for a long time. He's been highly successful at BCU, going up the University
right.
of Texas.
Right.
A guy like that,
right.
or somebody that type, that kind of is like almost a better carbon copy version of Fizdale, but just a coach, you know? Like,
a coach.
Basically –
X's and O's guy. That's what I'm saying. Like Shaka Smart call plays. He calls plays.
Right.
He manages the clock. He substitutes you know, with efficiency. You know what I'm saying? Like he's not Fizdale. Fizdale, man, I've seen Fizdale blow 8-9 games purely on mismanaging his players, playing the second, playing the hot unit all the way till they bucking for water, and then you throwing in cold players. You know what I'm saying? Horrible, just bad. You know, so yeah, nah, that's a great look. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, let's keep tabs on all these moves with the Knicks and the rest of the league. We'll definitely rebound probably right after the holiday. As soon as some of these games get underway, yes, we can definitely discuss these games and then the Knicks, all so on and so forth. Mr. Live, man, have a fantastic holiday, brother. Be safe
you
down
too,
there,
brother.
Outside,
you
man. You know, it's a good living out
oh,
there.
Oh yeah, yeah. We got the mask and hand sanitizer ready.
And don't the low country
you know
boys is popping up. Fish fries is
exactly.
It's just a lot better, man. Mr. Live, and of course,
exactly.
Dude, man. iTunes Podcast Public, tune in Stitcher, man. So, Asandra, I too, ladies and gentlemen, bleed blue.
Can you dig it?
Yes, sir.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.